Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Thanks be to God for the word of the Lord. It is an absolute joy to be with you again. It's been a few months, I have to say, and I'm grateful for the many familiar faces, and I even got to meet a few new friends this morning. So thank you for the opportunity. I'm glad to be back with you. Some of you know from previous experience that I also have a counseling space. I use your library here in my counseling practice, and I'm grateful to be here just about every week. I had somebody ask me how all of that was going, and I said, "Well, you know, I have to say it's going really well." And I said, "Oh, so you have lots and lots of people that you're visiting with?" And I said, "Well, they are all doing really well." So I see them on occasion. I think there's a misnomer that if you're really good at what you do in counseling, that you have all these people. And really, my hope and my prayer is that when you're doing really well in counseling, it means you're not seeing them quite as often, right? It is a joy to be with you, and prayers and thoughts with Wade and his family this morning in Harrisburg as well. I'm really thrilled for Lori and her opportunities there. I bring you the scripture for a reason. We hear the passage talking about there's a harvest, and we're in June. We have Mary decked out with the 4th of July with her arm cast there. It might be strange to be talking about harvest in June, right? That might be something that we might talk about a little bit closer to the fall. But there's a reason this morning. We're being challenged by this passage. I'm being challenged by this passage to be willing to go and live out what I am called to live out in a way that other people know that they're cared for by the God who created each of us. And I've thought about this passage, this call for laborers in the field. I've thought about this passage, and I've thought, you know, when I first moved to Gorville, we lived out on a farm, 230 acres, and I thought, you know, there's not going to be a lot of people out here visiting, but I can tell you for the first 2 years or so, there was Seventh-day Adventist, I think it was, knocking on my door. And if you live on a farm, you're surrounded by a field, so you see them coming. And if they're not expected, you see them coming and wonder why. And I remember the first few visits, this man would come with the scripture, and he'd knock on my door, and he'd say, "Want you to know you're welcome. Want you to know that this is where we worship." And I kept getting this invitation. And I was working at the time on my Doctor of Ministry degree at Louisville Presbyterian in Kentucky. And I kept thinking, is there nothing about what's going on here that's letting this guy know without me having to tell him that I'm already familiar with who God is and who Christ is in my life? So I got a little irritated. But I thought as I talked to you this morning about going out as laborers for the harvest, I'm not asking you to knock on someone's door. Now, it could be that you feel called, and I will certainly not ever step in the way of your sense of call to someone's door. But I also would not suggest this morning that what we're being challenged by in our scripture is to ring someone's doorbell with a Bible in hand and necessarily invite them to church. What I am saying, though, is we likely have opportunities for invitation much, much closer than that, right? And those opportunities are sometimes much more difficult, maybe, because there's a question of the relationship. If I invite this person, if I imagine that this person can use what I have found in my life and in my faith, if I imagine they could use this in their life, I wonder what it'll do to my relationship with them if I step across the line and invite them, right? I think that's a fair thing to wonder. I think we're being challenged to consider the importance of faith and stepping forward even in times and places where we question whether or not that's the thing to do. I'm going to take one more step back. So we've talked about knocking on someone's door at a farm. We talked about the people in our lives. What about the people in our families? Part of my training is as a marriage and family therapist. Part of what I do is work with people who are struggling in relationships. And I can tell you, and some of you have met, the two that live with me, Logan, age 13, going to be a freshman at Gorville, Claire, 15, she's driving to Marion. And I can tell you, God help me. So they're not here this morning, and you all can tell on me, and I'll probably go ahead and tell on myself. But they were here at the church with me. We were running an errand, doing something. We stopped by the church, and Claire said, hey, can I go ahead and drive? So she's 15, learner's permit, doesn't have a driver's license yet. We pulled out, the brother's in the back seat holding on to something, I don't remember what, but he was holding on to something. And you all, honestly, with a high school out here, you probably have a lot of new drivers driving back and forth. She's probably not the only one, but is the speed limit 30? Okay, speed limit is 30. She's not doing 30, and she got passed on your road up here. And the boy in the back seat that was gripping something to, like, make sure that he was going to be safe let go of that and said, well, if they're passing you in a 30 zone, I think I'm okay. She's doing really well. And I'll probably pay for that. But yeah, she's doing really well. But it strikes me when we look at this passage and we talk about the harvest and we talk about the laborers and we talk about witnessing of who God is in our lives and what Christ can do, I have to look at my own life and say, I have two that have a front row seat. They have, and sometimes they've been in here in worship and you've met them. They have a front row seat as to whether or not what I say in your pulpit or any other pulpit that I might step into and the way I live when I pull out of your parking lot, whether or not those two match up, right? It's a tricky, tricky business. It's a tricky, tricky business, those relationships and family. Because the people that we live with, as we heard from our younger church, the people that we live with, they see the good, the bad, and the ugly. They know the times and places when we haven't gotten it right. They know that we try. They know when we fail. And then there's always the place for forgiveness and apology. One of the places that I would ask us to look this morning, when we consider the need for harvest, is our families. We certainly are celebrating Father's Day today. Are there times and places where the people closest to us, maybe they live with us currently, maybe they lived with us formerly, are there times and places where the people closest to us are the very people who need to know what God is to us? Maybe that's already true. Maybe the people that you know, that you love, that you live with are already very much aware of who God is and how impactful God is in your life. Maybe they're already living a life of faith. Maybe the storm that we experienced earlier today is the same storm in your own heart because you know that that person is not experiencing a life with God. Maybe there's pain for you and for them as a result. I want to tell you the story, for the opportunity I have this morning, of a lifelong friend of mine who has led me in faith in very powerful ways. Lifelong friend of mine who, born in Kansas, raised, to my understanding, in a family of faith, wrestled very early on with questions of ordination, trained as a chemical engineer, and worked for the Department of Energy, and had this call, had this question, do I continue to work for the Department of Energy for the U.S., which my understanding is not a bad job, do I accept a call to ministry, full-time ministry, ordained ministry, that means a lot of changes, economic changes, social changes in family, This friend of mine, raised in faith, made the decision at one point in his life to follow the call, to make all of those changes, to take on that responsibility, and spent 13 years some odd, in full-time ministry, giving, receiving, and learning, I would say. Along the way, that lifelong friend of mine who's taught me so much was in the process of raising daughters and dealing with the questions that children bring. Questions like, if we move, do I get to take my bike? Because moving is a tricky thing, and you know you're leaving your friends, but questions like this whole dating thing, guys. And this friend of mine fielded those questions with grace in a way that let his family know that while he had wisdom and while he had what we would say, I guess, power even in the relationship, there's a lot of those questions that were left up to his girls. One of the questions was, I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up. Well, in response to one of his girls was, you know, you have people coming to talk to you. They seem to just be willing to dump their bucket. And I guess you could do a couple of things. You could be the person that someone comes to talk to about what's painful in their life, or you could train yourself to be a counselor or a therapist. So you either want to be the person that they would go to, or you would want to refer, depending on how you train yourself. But never ever the heavy hand that comes down and says, well, you know what? I think this is what you ought to be. I have learned so much from my lifelong friend. And more recently, as some of you know, 2 years ago, going through a divorce, in a small town. Y'all, I'm from Louisville. There's a whole lot more chance for anonymity in Louisville, but in a small town, so many people know your things, so many people want to know your business, and in a deeply private situation, that's not an easy thing to manage. But my friend not only supported me emotionally, also stepped in financially and said, you know what? I know this is going to be tough for you to do. Let's help make those attorney fees easier, right? Really put their money where their mouth is. My friend's been through a lot of pain themselves. Divorce, death of parents. And what I have witnessed over my experience and my relationship with my friend has been humility, gratitude for all of the blessings, a deep, deep faith that allows my friend to wrestle with God, as we hear that Jacob did as well, to ask the questions, is this really what you want from me? Is this really who you say you are? Deep, deep faithfulness in the face of pain. I am myself who I am today and what I bring to you largely as the result of my relationship with my lifelong friend who prayed at my birth that we would always have contact, communication, and a good relationship. I don't know how many dads do that. I don't get the chance very often to preach with my dad here. In fact, I don't remember the last time I did. I can tell you, as a woman of 48, I've been given a lot of things. I have the privilege of education. I have the privilege of good health. But what I have been given in unconditional love and very real support by my dad is what has brought me through so many things. Is he perfect? No. Does he have flaws? Absolutely. I'm not going to use my mic time to list them out. He turns 20, on the 28th, he turns 75. And as I imagined this sermon this morning, all I could think is, this is a person who heeded the scripture that said, the laborers are few. Y'all, he worked, and he cried, and he prayed over this laborer. And as a result of his work and his love, I have the opportunity to be here with you. I have the opportunity to be in counseling. I have the opportunity to share at the VA as a chaplain. I have the opportunity to be a mom of faith who says to my children, our faith goes back generations. And I can point to those generations and say, because of him, I'm here. I don't believe for a minute that I'm the only one here who has been touched, has experienced love in a way that is transformative. And I would challenge each one of you this morning, reach out as you can today and in this week to the men in your life, whether they're stoic, whether they're emotionally available, reach out to the men in your life. Father, brother, lifelong friend, and let them know in what ways it has been that they have made a difference for you. I don't want to wait for a eulogy for him to know what he means to me. I want him to know right now. Amen.